Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am Mark.
And I'm Vlad.
And we've finally have gotten the rotation going now.
Yeah, finally.
We promised.
And we'll continue. I'm back from all my business trips and et cetera.
The busy time of the year, usually always here, is always the busy time.
These days, every day is a busy time.
Pretty much, coming up on the holidays. Real quick, just want to touch, thanks for the comments last week, TGRT talking about his experience with the Surface Pro hardware. He got to see it at the store. I don't know if you've checked out yet, but Surface Books, Surface Pros, all the phones are in Microsoft stores. You can go check them out firsthand if you're interested.
They are amazing.
I can't wait for mine. And Oz Babwa corrected us on his name. Sorry about that. I knew that offhand. I completely flaked out last week on doing it. So, and if you do get to come to Washington State, you should let us know. We will show you around the studio.
For sure.
Let's get to the news.
HoloLens.
Who wants to meet Microsoft's HoloLens?
You remember when we announced a bunch of things and new devices last week? Mm-hmm. We also announced the HoloLens Roadshow for developers, right? And it started in Seattle. Like a home of HoloLens, basically, and started on Tuesday, and I was there on Tuesday helping with the Q&A. That was amazing. The feedback we are getting so far from people, it's so good. I was really surprised. We expected probably some like criticism on that. We expected some weird questions because you know it's an ongoing product. It's a long journey. But people were so excited. The questions were amazing. The feedback we're getting, it's so helpful. So it's really worth to try and register. We know that it's all wait-listed now, but trust me, if it's worth to try and put your name on wait list, so we probably open some slots.
Go ahead and get on the wait list, like Vlad said. Worst thing is you don't get in, but there's totally all the upside of spots opening up. This is something we have been fairly secretive about for a while, the entire HoloLens project. So the chance to get firsthand, just straight experience with it is pretty awesome.
Have you heard anything about the actual demo they have?
I read one review online of someone who tried Project X-Ray. I don't know what experiences they're actually doing in there, but that's one of them. If you're not familiar, if you go back to our hardware event, that was the experience we showed where you're shooting robots that are flying out of your wall and stuff. So it looks really, really fun.
Yeah, I heard from people I'm talking to, like the really experts in VR and AR, they told me it's like the best thing they ever tried. So,
not to get your expectations up too high, but get on that wait list.
Yes. Next thing.
Speaking of things to register for, we've announced our 2016 event lineup. Now, we have been consolidating our events over a number of years, and this is a very solid and pretty stable lineup that you've probably come to expect now. So, Build, our big developer conference, where we're looking at...
Spring.
Yes, is in spring, and that is like the future looking, the new stuff, and that is again going to be in San Francisco. Got Convergence, which is for business leaders looking for trends and solutions, and that is April 4th through 7th in New Orleans. That is a very fun place to be.
I would go.
WPC is our worldwide partner conference, and that is in Toronto this year in July. And then Microsoft Ignite, which combined a bunch of stuff, including TechEd, is our premier event for IT professionals and skill building across all of our technologies. Yeah. So that is the
SharePoint.
Yeah, that's the stuff you will instantly get value if you work with our technologies on a day-to-day basis. You will learn all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And that is September in Atlanta. And they also kind of note in this blog that we are trying to keep this schedule as stable as possible. So spring, summer, fall for each one of these events. So you can plan ahead of time, which is super helpful for those of you who need to do budget planning in your businesses ahead of time. And also just for scheduling travel as well.
Yeah, talking about your plans, Microsoft Ignite actually opened its registration. So you can pre-register now for the lowest price. So
yes.
The dates are there, you can book. Everything like your flights and hotels and all this stuff, and you can pre-register with the lowest price. Good. If you're interested, go ahead and do it.
If you want to see what these are like, Channel 9 has all the videos from previous builds and Ignite from last year up here, so you can go ahead and check out that content free of charge.
Yeah, Channel 9 has everything. New builds.
New builds of Windows 10.
Yeah, it's a really interesting build. Like as we always do these days, it's not just about bug fixes, but also about new features in Edge, in APIs, and people recently discovered. So it's really interesting to try. And for example, like Cortana inking capability is there, so you can write, and Cortana will understand it. So I'm on that build.
There are, I like that there's a big variety. Like you said, there's bug fixes, there's new features. They redid the title bars. So like the colors come up a little more vibrant. There's settings for that. Like little things that have some nice quality of life, like managing your default printer, something that's just kind of we've gotten complicated over the years, trying to solve that.
Yeah, synchronizing favorites on Edge, that's a big deal.
Yes.
So they're kind of improving it over time, and the steps are pretty big, so.
And as always, Windows 10 is not PC only. There's also a Windows 10 mobile new build out, that is 10.5.49. So Gayball has posted a blog about this, and there's a bunch of new improvements in the messaging app. There are new emoji. So this is the Unicode's new vision about you can basically like accent emoji. So there's like a base emoji that comes out with like a gray face, and then you can change the color of it to many shades. And so you can kind of like compose different things.
You can talk just using emoji without using
pretty
actual
much
characters.
It's funny because if you think about it, like linguists, like they may kind of scoff at this at one point, but there's plenty of them that are studying this because there's things like hyperlocal dialects.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. We had the other day we had a news about that.
Really?
About like people talking just using emoji. So it's not something I'm making up in my head. Yeah, my favorite improvement in this build is obviously Cortana improvement about supporting new languages for insiders. It's Japanese and English for insiders in Australia and Canada. Big deal.
All right, cool. Continuing on the thread of updates, Visual Studio 2015 Update 1 CTP is here.
Yeah.
So this is the preview of Update 1 for Visual Studio. This includes
like if you're a C++ developer,
yes,
you're building apps for Windows Store, like UWP apps, that's a big deal for you because you can finally use edit and continue feature with the debugging. Like for any real developer, it's a big deal. You shouldn't rebuild and restart your app when you make small changes, right? Yeah, another nice feature is C-sharp interactive window, so you can write small code snippets in C-sharp and run them like without.
And there's like a command line tool for this too now.
Yeah.
In there, so like you, like, it's more like treating it like a scripting language, which is totally possible. But it's very nice for, like you said, just want to write a quick script. You don't have to like launch a new project and do all the work. You just want to get it running.
Instance of Visual Studio, like. Yeah, another update.
Oh, this is totally from the Microsoft naming team. Team Foundation Server 2015 Update 1 RC1.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Very simple. Again, this update has some new features you want to try, and then they will probably take your feedback and fix for the final release of Update 1.
There are a lot of new features.
Yeah, there are a lot of
here.
New features. So I don't want to read all of them. But
no, the couple of them that we've been looking at that we really want for our team is color coding in the Kanban form. So we have like lots of little different dev like feature teams working on stuff, and it'd be great to like color code them and like split up our scrums into different teams. So little again quality of life improvements, but a ton of different things.
Yeah, if for some reason you want to use Git and Team Foundation version control in one project, you can now do it.
Yeah, I've had instances where that would be useful. I wouldn't recommend using two different source controls in the same project.
You know,
but
people need it if we do it.
Especially if a dependency is in something else.
Yeah,
like if you have a dependency on the project that's all in Git and then you're running in TFS or vice versa, it's very nice to be able to consolidate the two. And that does happen more frequently than you'd like.
Yeah, we should ask Greg.
Yeah,
why people need it.
It's true. Visual Studio Code. VS Code is the lightweight code editor that is all completely cross-platform.
Completely.
And now 0.9.1, the October 2015 release, is out.
Yeah, that's a big update. I see a lot of tweets about it, a lot of things going around. For example, the added more features to like to the customization side of things. You can do like new languages, new color schemes.
Yep.
They added things like pre-debug action. So basically, before start the debugging, you can add some scripts like building scripts, for example. So it's really like coming with new features, and I love the direction it goes, and I like the way it goes in that direction, keeping the lightweight nature of Visual Studio Code.
There's a few, this is like a pre-V1 product still, so there's a couple directory and path changes that have happened. So if you're relying on any of those, go ahead and dig into the release notes to see where they are changing. Obviously, when we hit a V1, we'll try to be more consistent with those, but now still kind of juggling things around.
Yeah, and we're kind of moving from updates of developer tools and operating system to funny things. And the first one is about Minecraft.
Yes, Minecraft. We announced not that long ago that Minecraft would receive a story mode. This is the first time in the history of Minecraft that there is really like a campaign. Mm-hmm. Usually it's been this very open world where you can do whatever you'd like. But now episode one, The Order of Stone, is now available on Xbox One for $4.99 in the US. I'm not aware of the prices everywhere else. Feel free to check the store in your region. But you are a character named Jesse who will embark on an adventure across the overworld, through the Nether, to the end and beyond. So I guess this is nice, especially if you haven't dug too deep into the game. This will be, I don't want to call it a guided tour, but a way to like guide you through a lot of the content, a lot of the biomes that are in the game. So
yeah, and look at the size. It's more than 1 gig. So imagine how much content they put in this. I would say game, right?
Right.
It's like Minecraft, but it's just like a new game.
That's a lot of voxels.
Yeah, a lot of voxels.
1 gig.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you want to play Minecraft streaming it to your Windows 10 PC, you can now use your wireless Xbox controller because we finally made
the wireless adapter.
The wireless adapter for Windows 10, like
so previously, I believe you could use a USB cable.
Yes.
But who wants to do that? Really, you want to be disconnected, especially if you have a laptop, a Windows 10 laptop that you're streaming to, which I have been doing more and more of now. Yeah. There's something about having the TV on and being able to jump into a game. But yes, the wireless adapter, nice little plug in. You get your Xbox One controller on your Windows 10 device to stream or to play PC desktop games,
exactly,
whichever you like.
I love it. Yeah, and I wanted to mention kind of playing Forza or something like this on the PC, but let's just talk about real things.
real
F1 teams using our technologies, which is Power BI. Lotus F1 team is actually using Power BI for analyzing and visualizing their data. You can imagine how much telemetry they're getting from their cars, given that those cars are really like smart.
Yeah. Yeah, everything from like the pressure and heat and temperature on every tire down to the amount of oil in the everything.
Yeah, vibration, everything, yeah.
They need to know. These are very specialized machines that have to operate within certain parameters, and getting that data can mean the difference in fractions of seconds, which is the difference between first place and not first. So
they need to make decision very quickly because it's like it's a race. They need to have a very good visualization like
now.
Now. So it's really critical for them. It's a mission critical app, and they build it on Power BI. Cool thing. That's what this post by Office Team is telling about.
Along the same lines of big data, we're talking about Orleans. Depends on your dialect there.
Yeah, talking about big data in like a large scale computing environment. This guy, what's his name? Paul Ballard, published a great post about getting started with Orleans. We were talking about it for probably years now.
Yeah.
And finally, if you haven't tried it yet, you're probably gonna read this post and understand how to get started with Orleans. That's a big thing. Build another Halo 4, or Halo 5, Halo 6, Halo 10.
Yeah, so like the core concept is you have lots of little things called grains, mm-hmm. or I guess actors.
Yeah.
And they're implemented as grains, and mm-hmm. they are discrete single things that live, and you have many, many, many of those, and then they all feed into the engine up above where you can aggregate the data and do whatever you like with them. So we're saying, for example, in Halo 4, you can get all the actions of each player playing across the millions that are playing online, collect that data, and then process it for all sorts of stuff.
And Orleans is taking care of scaling it across multiple, like across hundreds and thousands machines, so you just do your job, the actual job, solving
your business logic.
Solving your business logic and like all the distribution things. Orleans is doing that for you. Cool. And talking about like super smart people making super smart applications, Microsoft is actually started a project for preventing bike crashes before they happen.
It's funny because you hear about this in cars all the time, with autopilot coming out on the Teslas and all these autonomous cars, that bicycles did not come up to my ideas.
So what they use, they do it in Bellevue, which is like next to Redmond here, and they analyze a lot of videos from the cameras they have on the streets, and basically using this as a training data for their big data, like networks and applications. They're trying to analyze real-time motions and actions pedestrians are doing and like bicyclists doing, and they try to prevent crashes in many forms. It's a very interesting task.
Around here, there are a good number of bicyclists, lots of bike trails, so hopefully as we consolidate our automobile traffic with everything and more people do this manual powered transportation, we can make it all safer. I like it.
Cool.
Speaking of things we like.
Ooh, Peaks of the Week. And Mike Peak of the Week is a new version, like October 2015 version of Microsoft Band SDK, which includes Band 2 support, this new new device, which is, I just love it.
Not the even
way,
out yet.
The way, it feels, it's just amazing.
Gotta get my hands on one of these.
Yeah, the biggest thing in this SDK that we introduced 5 new sensors exposed through this SDK. No, it doesn't mean that Band 2 has 5 new sensors. No, we just didn't have all sensors exposed, even from the first generation of the Band. We didn't have it all exposed. So now we have 5 more. Some of them are from Band 1, some of them are from Band 2, and that's a really big deal. Also, obviously, bug fixes, new kind of UI capabilities you have. You can now customize more on your bands. Yeah.
And this is also, again, cross-platform. Band works across platforms. Yeah. So the SDK works as well.
I haven't tried it yet, but I will once I get my Band 2.
My pick of the week, you may be familiar with Ninja Cat and his escapades on dinosaurs and unicorns and all sorts of, and narwhals. Well, we ran a contest for a t-shirt competition, and there were a lot of great entries, but the winner, the winner is a game that, I'm trying to find the winner's name here, our favorite one is Arcadio Garcia, who made Flappy Ninja Cat, which is a very unique game. You've never seen this before, but Ninja Cat riding around, flies around, and you try to navigate him through strips of bacon.
Oh.
And you get to see how many points you score. So the game is hosted right up on Azure, flappyninjacat.azurewebsites.net. Go ahead and check out what your high score will be.
Cool.
Yeah, you gotta make it on Azure. Hot. It's Ninja Cat.
Awesome.
That's it. Thanks so much for watching this week. We will see you next time.
See you next time. Have fun.